Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Good to have you along with us for this program. We'll be here for the next hour and 25 minutes, and it's good to be back from some family vacation time. Walker and I were away. Walker's my youngest son, for those who don't know. So we were on family vacation together. Quite frankly, we've had enough of each other, but we got to come back and pretend like we want to be together another hour and a half here. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. Good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Good to be here. And let me just compliment Ed. Yeah. All right.
Ed Battagliano, you want to compliment him?
Hey, please do. I have no idea what's coming, but I
want to
hear it.
I just want you to know, Tim, when Ed did show up for work,
yeah,
he did a great job.
Okay. Huh. That makes you want to go, huh. This needs further explanation off the air.
You just couldn't do a straight compliment, could you, Fred?
But no, here's a straight compliment. He does have a fan club.
Yes, oh, yes, I have one person.
Yep. He brought the fan letter in.
I did. I read it.
He read it on the air.
Because he sent me, it was the return address was Ward Cleaver. And he sent me a gift card to Pizza Hut.
Hey.
But he did compliment you in the letter, and I read that
did
part
he really?
Too,
yes. Okay, Ed.
But he did not send you a gift card.
Okay. Why not?
Well, I'll tell you, if you promise not to get offended at Ward Cleaver, and he never did say who he was or where he was from. He said, I know that Dr. Tim, he called you, Dr. Tim, has been getting all kinds of gift cards because of his accident.
No, I got three.
He got three. And he said, I thought you might get tired of seeing all the gift cards go to Tim, so I sent you one of your own.
And he called you, what, the best Italian host, radio host?
East of the Mississippi. Now, I don't know who's out there west of the Mississippi, but east of the Mississippi is mine.
I may have got
four. It's my territory.
I may have got four. I think I got two Cracker Barrels and two Red Lobsters. That's the deal.
That's a pretty good haul.
That's pretty good.
Well, listen,
all you
got
to do is run into the back of an 18-wheeler to get it.
To get by. I in balancing that out, I don't think it's really worth it. You know, in considering all things. By the way, this is the first time that Fred and I have been together, and we are, you know, since we're two dead men walking over
here.
Yes,
that's true.
Is what
that's
we
right.
are.
That's right.
Well, I think maybe Fred ought to go on the vacation with you guys next year. If you miss him that much.
He wants to pay his own way. I'm already broke having to pay for the family. But anyway, hey, it's good to be back.
It is.
And good to have you, Fred.
It's great to be here. It
back,
really is.
Back with us here on American Family Radio's Today's Issues program. We got so much to talk about, so much in the news. We just thank the president for keeping topics fresh every day for us. Walker, what are we doing on, as Ed calls it, that there internet?
Yeah, we're live streaming both on Facebook and YouTube, so you can watch the radio show at those two locations. Also on Facebook, we'll be posting the news stories as we do every day, so if you want to read more into the news we talk about, you're welcome to do that on our Facebook page. Lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your mobile device.
What if they want to? So if they want to watch the show today in all our glory... I use it with a small g. It's not sacrilegious. They can do what now?
Yeah.
Just go to Facebook or YouTube?
Yeah, both those places, Facebook, YouTube, watch the show. Just type in Today's Issues.
Type in Today's Issues and watch this here program. All right, Fred, what's in the news?
Well, let's start off with the breaking news that's on onenewsnow.com. Okay. And we go to Ankara, Turkey for this story. And a lot of our listeners have been praying for, wanted the latest information. Pastor Andrew Craig Bronson, who has been in a Turkish prison now, basically since the aftermath of the 2016 attempted coup in Turkey, the Turkish government have accused this pastor, who, by the way, is from Black Mountain, North Carolina, accused this pastor of being associated with terrorist groups in Turkey. Specifically, the indictment against him, based on testimony from secret witnesses, They don't even show up in court. They claim the pastor was working to convert Kurds to Christianity to sow discord in Turkey. Now, think about this for a moment. The Turks don't need to be converted to Christianity to cause discord. They've been at discord with the Turkish government.
There's been the Kurds.
The Kurds, exactly. But they're accusing this pastor, who has had a church in Turkey now for over two decades, of somehow working with the Kurds to undermine the Turkish government. Now, this story has claimed international headlines. It has impacted Democrats, Republicans. The president has intervened on the behalf of this president. In fact, President Trump even called the president of Turkey earlier this week to discuss this court case that was coming
Seriously?
Up today. Yeah, he did.
President Trump called the president of Turkey to talk about this?
To intervene, try to intervene for the pastor.
Wow, that's good for the president. Yeah. Good for our president.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And just a few weeks ago, Senator Lindsey Graham and Democratic Senator Jeanne Shaheen from Missouri actually went to Turkey to try to intervene for this pastor.
Good for those guys, too.
Members of Congress have blocked the sale of F-35 fighter jets to Turkey. This has a very high profile. As I say, I had listeners calling us last week wanting to know what the latest was. Well, unfortunately, we have to report this morning the Turkish court are going to keep him in prison. They set another court date for October. So continue to put your prayers for Pastor Andrew, as he's become known as, Pastor Andrew Craig Bronson from North Carolina. His dear family, and these are trumped-up charges. I'm just going to say
it. So President Trump is called the president of Turkey on his behalf.
That's right.
So, well, maybe we'll see some movement on that. That's the highest level as you can get.
And Turkey is a part of NATO.
Right.
But increasingly over the last 5-6 years, the president there, Recep Erdogan, has become more dictatorial.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a democratic country, and there are a lot of freedom-loving Turks in that country, but he is pushing a more Sharia-controlled atmosphere in that country, and these are clearly trumped-up charges. They use the excuse of their hostility towards the Kurds, and I don't know what Erdogan hopes to get out of it, but I have no doubt that these are false charges. And but this is what happens when you get a harsher Sharia bend in a country that was created in the 1920s to be a Western democracy.
Christian proselytizing is illegal in most of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not in most, but I'm thinking half the world. You got Muslim countries. You've got communist countries,
India.
Hindu countries. So this pastor, what's his name again?
His name is Pastor Andrew Craig Bronson.
Okay, and he's in Turkey. Is he Turkish, by the way?
No.
What was he doing there?
He went there to plant a church over 20 years ago. He's an evangelical pastor from Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Okay, so but they're saying he's trying to stir up trouble.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Basically what the Turkish government says. Well, we ask that you pray for him.
Amen.
And his family. How long has he been under arrest?
Well, he was arrested shortly after the attempted coup in 2016.
Okay. And Walker, are you putting this on our Facebook page?
Will do.
This information.
And by the way, some people believe that the attempted coup, quote unquote, is trumped up so that Erdogan could take more power.
Yes.
So,
like a staged coup.
Yeah, staged coup. So it's a tough spot for this pastor to be in.
Well, and you know, my mind goes to this possibility. Maybe he was just kidnapped by the Turkish government and to be used to trade for something else that Erdogan wants from Trump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Trump says, okay, I'll give you this for if you'll free this man.
Yeah. yeah.
Has that ever happened in history?
It's happened lots of times.
Am I crazy?
Yeah.
No. You think that maybe that's a possibility here? Okay, so the president, since last Walker and I were here. The president has been to Great Britain to meet with the royal family, or at least the queen.
Meet with the prime minister.
Theresa May, the prime minister. And then he had his NATO meeting.
He was in Brussels for the NATO meeting.
Well, and much beloved by the NATO crowd. There of his comrades, just the talk of the party. And then he went on to did a little round of golf at his golf course in Scotland.
Scotland.
By the way, did y'all see where a Secret Service member of Trump's personal travel team had a stroke and died.
Hmm.
Did you see that? He had a stroke while President Trump was in Scotland.
Oh, my.
And he's now passed away. I saw that last night.
Oh, dear.
He was a, but I'm surprised that didn't make more of a news story. But anyway, yeah. And then the president went on to
Helsinki,
Finland, to meet with Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
The is he called the president of Russia? Is that the right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, the president. The eternal president. He never has to. They don't have two terms and you're out.
No.
Well, he did take a little bit of a break. Remember Medvedev was
came in for a quarter or a half.
Yeah.
Whatever, half of a game.
Yeah.
But the president, our president, is in trouble with Democrats and some Republicans for being not tough enough with Vladimir Putin on what exactly?
Well, the big picture, they thought he should have condemned right out there. They had a closed door meeting, President Trump and President Putin. Closed door meeting, lots of things discussed.
Right.
And then they come out and they hold a news conference.
Okay.
And reporters from every news agency in the world were in this, this room. And of course, the reporters, particularly from the United States, wanted to know if during that two-hour meeting, President Trump confronted President Putin with the idea of the Russians meddling in the elections of 2016. And the news conference last Friday came 1 week after the Deputy Attorney General, Rosenstein.
I think you got that one wrong.
Rod Rosenstein.
Yes.
What did he say?
I think he actually said Rob, maybe.
You kind of merged the names.
Okay.
I get the idea.
Okay. Rosenstein.
Rosenstein. Oh, did I?
Yeah, you said Rosenstein.
The editor's back in the studio.
He held a news conference to announce the indictment of 12 Russians who apparently have government jobs. So the reporter wanted to know, hey listen, President Trump, did you confront President Putin about this? And
I'm raising my hand when you get through before I forget my question.
All right.
Go ahead, because I got it.
In his response, in President Trump's response, he said something along the line of, I don't see how the Russians could have been involved. I'm paraphrasing to a certain extent. The world, the journalistic world, and the Democrats and some Republicans went totally crazy saying that President Trump had undermined his own intelligence agencies. So that has been burning up the airwaves ever since last Friday.
Yeah, I think he said why they would.
Why they would.
Yeah. Why would they?
Yeah. Why would they what?
Meddle in the 2016 election.
Okay, gotcha.
Why would they? So you have this storm of activity. Mainstream media, Republicans, Democrats, some Republicans, most Democrats and others just going crazy over this, saying it was undermining the U.S. intelligence agency. So much so that yesterday, prior to a meeting at the White House, the president invites the media into the room where he proceeds to read a statement which includes, he said, I need to clarify something about what I said there at that news conference in Helsinki. Here's how the president put that clarification yesterday at the White House. Cut number one.
I came back and I said, what is going on? What's the big deal? So I got a transcript. I reviewed it. I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave. And I realized that there is a need for some clarification. It should have been obvious. I thought it would be obvious, but I would like to clarify just in case it wasn't. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. So just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. And the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. sort of a double negative. So you can put that in, and I think that probably clarifies things pretty good by itself.
So that was his explanation. Okay. Now the question is, was he clarifying honestly, or is he just trying to clean up a big mess?
A politician? Doing something like that, Fred? Where do you get that from?
You be the jury.
A politician. President Trump, whether you like it or not, he is a politician now, right? He even called himself a politician. I'm not saying he doesn't.
That he acts like a typical one, but he's...
I'm not saying he doesn't speak frankly and is an unusual politician, but he is a politician nonetheless in the sense that he wants to further his agenda and he wants to be liked by the American voters. So he tries to say things in a way that makes himself look in the best possible light, right? Mm-hmm. But don't we all? Don't we all? Let me just go back to something for just a minute. You were saying about
Rod Rosenstein.
What's his title?
He's the Deputy Attorney General, just under Jeff Sessions.
He's the one that made the announcement that the about the indictments of the Russian, the 12 Russians.
Yeah.
How come we always have a dozen? This is just so neat, the packaged, isn't it? Every 6 months, we have a dozen new Russian spies that have been indicted that never show up because they never come back to America.
Well, they don't have to show up.
Like somebody said the other day, I was watching some, if this was a serious deal, why not wait till they land in Miami in January and then arrest them?
Right.
Why do you make a big press conference about people that are never going to come back to America now? Why? I'll tell you why. This is my personal opinion, and I don't have any facts to back it up. Okay?
Right.
I'm just letting you know this is my personal opinion. This was timed to make President Trump look bad by Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein, yep. The Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General. We all know how they feel about President Trump. By they, I mean those top people at the FBI and the Justice Department. By all these text messages that have been sent around and public and statements that have come to light. I don't know about by Rosenstein, but I'm just saying I think that they decided, let's make these indictments now, a few days prior to President Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin, so that we box the president in. We put him in a no-win situation so that, because they could have waited till this week. Mm-hmm. To make these announcements. Right, am I right?
Right.
They could have waited to this week. They could have done that. But instead, they wanted to give the best chance to make President Trump look bad. Listen, when two leaders of two of the most powerful countries in the world, Russia and the United States, and leaders of any other countries get together at a press conference, to me, that's not a time to be confrontational about issues that need to be settled behind the scenes. I'm not looking for a wrestling match between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, or Barack Obama, for that matter.
Right.
If it were Barack Obama, I would say, no, don't do a press conference with Vladimir Putin where you call him out.
Right.
In a public setting with all the world's media sitting there and expect that to end well.
Right.
Huh?
That's exactly right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you got disagreements with Vladimir Putin and the Russian government, do it in a room behind the scenes, off camera. Get your diplomatic teams together and do the best you can to work out whatever problems you have. But when you get out there in front of cameras, in front of the world, yes, you can acknowledge maybe that there are differences that you have with the other one on how you see the world or what you're going to, but you can also emphasize things that you're doing positively to impact the world for whatever good reason, peace or whatever, denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. But what the American liberal media want, and what some in the international media want, and the Democrats, they want President Trump to go over there and body slam, which he could because President Trump's 6'2". Vladimir Putin's about 5'6". So I mean, unless Vladimir Putin could come at him at the ribs, you know.
He is a black belt in karate.
Well, so. then he may can hold his own.
Doesn't he hunt bears, you
know,
too?
He may can cut off President Trump at the knees,
right.
Or, you know, in the groin area. You know, what, I don't know. But I'm just saying to you, that's what they want. They want to fight And if President Trump doesn't fight him publicly, then President Trump's a wimp and doesn't care about America and cares more about the Russians. See, this whole false narrative.
And if he does, if he does embarrass Putin, then they can criticize him for not being a true diplomat.
Exactly.
You embarrass somebody.
Exactly.
And that,
And President Trump is frustrated because they know that he knows that they've got him boxed in this way. And he's trying his best to get out of it. And I don't think he handled it necessarily
very well.
Here's the thing.
If President Trump called out Putin for all the negatives and things we don't like about Russia at the press conference, the left would say, this president has no idea what decorum is and diplomacy.
Yes.
He can't even hold a press conference without shooting.
Right. Putting somebody down.
Which is what he did with the NATO leaders. He called them out.
And the left went crazy.
And the left went crazy over that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we know that, I guess President Trump could have learned from you know, President Obama because, you know, he had a fight with the Castro. Remember, they had a boxing match down there when he went down to see the dictator Castro. You remember that? President Obama
hugged him or something?
President Obama stood up to him, you know, and tough.
That's a good point, though. He did not criticize him publicly. Nope. Or the Castro regime or any of the Castros down there.
And the media, the liberal media, went nuts on President Obama on that, didn't they, Ed?
No, they did not. Huh? And that is about as bad a dictatorship as has
sure
been
it is.
Since 1959. And he went down there and played nice with them.
Yeah. So bottom line is, could President Trump have handled this better? Yes, he could have. And he knows he probably should have. But this is not about the left's indignation with Russia.
Right.
In fact, ideologically, they're in line with communism, okay, in many respects. We got people running as practical communists over here in the Democratic Party.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay? So this is all about the liberal media and the Democrats getting up every day going, what is President Trump for today? Because we're against it. Mm-hmm. And we just fill in the blank, okay? However we can make him look bad, that's what we're for today. And everybody, I think a lot of people see through that.
Well, and that's an excellent point, though, too, Tim.
Thank
about
you.
About no, that something else you said was also excellent.
Two excellent points.
Why did Rosenstein release the names on
a
Friday?
Few days.
Yes,
because
he wanted
to make President
Trump
look bad.
I hadn't thought about that, but that is exactly one to box him in and create an opportunity for Trump to mess up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've known about who these Russians are and who hacked into what.
Right.
They've known about this for 2 years now.
Yeah.
The FBI can find out who hacks into what server in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
They know. So the fact that they just found these 12 and put the charges together, that's all phony. And Rosenstein doesn't want the Russians coming over here to arrest them in Miami, the hypothetical you proposed, because that would mean they would have to go before a jury and a judge and have to put forth evidence, which they don't have. That's why Michael Flynn's case has been delayed 5 times in the federal court up in D.C. because they don't want to take it before a jury because they don't have the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all and
that is also an excellent point.
Paul Manafort
about not wanting them to show up so they can be arrested.
Yeah, that's why you announce to the world who we're charging and that way they're not going to travel to the U.S.
Right. Exactly. That's, you know, otherwise, why do you announce to the world you're indicting 12 or whatever it was, however many Russians? If this is that serious a matter, you wait till those guys come back on American soil, then you send the FBI to arrest them or the U.S. Marshals or whoever does that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was all, the timing was to make Trump look bad and box him in because the Justice Department... The Justice Department is at war
with its boss.
With the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with the Republican president. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing that now. So.
Let me just tell you, that vacation was worth every penny. You guys came in with 3 or 4 good points. Excellent points, I'd say.
You send us on vacation for 7 or 8 days again.
Right?
We'll come back with some more good stuff. I'll tell you that. My board might have a problem with too many vacations. But we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us, everybody.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries.
As we see headlines on a daily basis, and some of them can be pretty awful, and we certainly grieve, but still let's see them as a harbinger of his return rather than any kind of gloom and doom.
We'll also get an up-close view on the latest in the news. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
You know, people often ask me, Tim, what's your favorite part of the Holy Land Tour? I've been leading Holy Land Tours for many years now. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I learned how to lead these Israel tours from my dad, who started doing them in the 60s. And then he taught me in the 80s and 90s. And now my wife, Allison, and I lead these tours annually to Israel. And we love going because we love seeing people's eyes when they see things, such as the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and the Garden Tomb and the Wailing Wall. See all these things for the first time and maybe the last time in many folks' lives, because this is a bucket list trip. We're going to be going in March. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. And we'll send you a brochure. If you want to go to the website, everything's there, twholyland.com, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. An art gallery in Portland, Oregon, took down a window painting that depicted President Trump being decapitated. The founder of One Grand Gallery said he removed the painting after receiving death threats. The man tells Fox 12 in Portland he was perplexed why a violent painting would conjure up such violent reactions. Go figure. The painting was part of a profane exhibit about the president. So profane, we are not even permitted to utter the name of the exhibit on the radio. In 2017, comedian Kathy Griffin posed for a photo shoot holding President Trump's severed head. She became an icon among the Hollywood elites and the far leftist. All that to say, this obsession with killing President Trump has to stop, folks. Regardless of political party, the office of the presidency demands our respect. So stop behaving like a bunch of Islamic radical wannabes. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
That's a guy from the heat. Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to send us an email, just do it with the attitude of Joel Osteen. That's all I would say to you if you're going to communicate with us. So make it positive, okay? Send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. You want to watch this show on Facebook? Go to Facebook Live and type in Today's Issues, or YouTube. YouTube has us live streaming there as well. So Today's Issues on YouTube. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio each and every day. We try to broadcast the truth and the gospel. They're not mutually exclusive. Right. Gospel is the truth, but we try to broadcast the truth about God and Jesus Christ and the Bible and the issues that we talk about each day. We try to do so, bring to you the news that is accurate. Fred and his team at One News Now, an accurate an accurate portrayal, that's not right, account of the news. And also, we try to look at things through a biblical worldview. So that's our goal and objective. We may not always meet that. We're human, but that's what we try to do here at American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. We just don't have enough voices here. So we've invited a fifth voice, so you can try to figure out who's talking here on the program. On Wednesdays at 10:30, Abraham Hamilton III comes in as our attorney, our attorney to look at issues. Abe is a constitutional lawyer, and he's the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim. Ed. All right, Walker.
Hey, pull that microphone up a little bit, because there you go. Now we're talking.
All right.
Hey, we wanted to, before we get Abe's take on whatever it is we're going to talk to him about, we wanted to play a clip from Dinesh D'Souza, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the Russia investigation, the Trump-Putin meeting, and how those two things are kind of colliding here. I'll get Abe's take on this. This is Dinesh D'Souza last night on the Ingram Angle on Fox News and what he thinks the purpose of the outrage over the Trump-Putin meeting is.
you know, on the face of it, it should not be surprising that the Russians tried to influence our election. It is not surprising at all either that Trump would be skeptical of intelligence agencies that seem to have been institutionally mounted against him. So the left's apoplexy here, I think, has a deeper explanation. And the explanation is this. They are desperate for Trump to ratify the premise of the Mueller investigation. The Mueller investigation is given a boost if Trump himself, in a sense, the very target of the investigation, were to basically say, yeah, the Russians are the bad guys, because then Mueller can then push forward and simply try to close the loop by saying, and you're part of that group. So I think Trump's natural aversion to doing that is based upon the correct perception that the left's concern here is entirely domestic politics. They don't care about Russia per se. These are people for whom election integrity has not exactly been a leading issue.
That's Dinesh D'Souza. He did a great job, I think, explaining the situation. Right, Abe, you didn't hear our program last 30 minutes. I'm sure you were busy, whatever, popcorn machine or whatever you I'm just teasing with Gabe. Hey, what do you think about what Dinesh just said?
I think he's on to something. I mean, listen, these are the same people who completely ignored Barack Obama on a hot mic, turning to Dmitry Medvedev, saying, just let me get through this election, then I can give Vladimir whatever he wants. Tell that to Vladimir. You didn't hear any outrage or any response to that. These are the same people who laughed in Mitt Romney's face when he suggested in 2012 that Russia was a pretty big problem on the national stage. But President Obama at the time said the 1980s called and want their foreign policy back. So I think Dinesh D'Souza is right when he points out the fact that these people don't really have a problem with Russia at all. They want somebody, they want Donald Trump in particular, to ratify, as he said, the Mueller probe, which President Trump calls a witch hunt. And so he's naturally averse to that. And I made the point yesterday in talking about that. I think what we're witnessing on the national stage is nothing more than President Trump's instinctual inclination to, when anybody attacks him, and if in the course of attacking him, you're attacking other people, he has an innate response to hunker down and defend himself, which opens him up to say, well, listen, you're attacking me, so you must be attacking Russia too, because you're saying we've colluded. We didn't collude, right? Looking side to side, you know we didn't collude. I know I didn't collude, and you know we didn't collude. And I don't think it's any broader than that. And so, as Dinesh D'Souza said, the apoplexy, I don't know if I said it as well as he did, is not about their disdain for Russia. It's because they want to get Trump and want Trump to help them do it.
Well, and they also, the left constantly, and the media, they say that that Vladimir Putin is a thug, he's a dictator, and therefore Trump should take a really hard line. Tim made the point during the last segment.
Which was excellent,
that the left didn't care anything about President Obama going down to Cuba. You talk about a dictatorship. They didn't have a problem with the dictators or thugs like the Castros when President Obama went down there. So their pick and choose, their cherry picking, is clear to anybody who's paid attention over a long period of time. I'd forgotten about President Obama making that comment to Mitt Romney about 1980s diplomacy. Mm-hmm. This is all about cherry picking for the purpose of gaining power, winning elections. And the left, including their lapdogs, the mainstream media, are full of this kind of junk.
Good point.
Well, I made it first.
It was good.
Yeah. It's an excellent American Family Association presidential point.
Excellent. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. One other, let me ask you to look into the future, Abe. I would say use a crystal ball, but then a lot of our listeners would say that's not in the Bible. And Tim,
well, it is, but the people who do it go to hell. Tim, so.
Okay. Duly noted, Ed. So I'm not going to do it. You can count on that.
But you're going to ask me to do it.
But I'm going to ask Gabe to do it. I'm just making fun, because when we say metaphors like that, not a lot of people, 10% of our Christian brothers take it literal, and they will send me emails telling me, how can you advocate using a crystal ball? So I'll rephrase that. Look into the future.
With or without a crystal ball.
Don't use a crystal ball, Abe. I'm just asking you to look into the future. No, When do you think that this Mueller investigation for FBI, again, keep in mind that collusion is not a crime.
Right.
Okay. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is not a crime. We have been at this thing for a year and a half now, I think. We've got poor Paul Manafort.
We're at 2 years now. It started
2 years. We got pulled pork. We got, why do I want to say pulled pork? Poor Paul Manafort did something 10 years ago that they found out about through this investigation.
He's in solitary confinement.
Right.
Yes.
I say poor. I don't know if he broke the law or not. Who knows? I'm just saying he was busted because he had. Then General Flynn, as Walker mentioned earlier, who's basically tricked into something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe you got. And you got these 12 lords of leaping from Russia that are not ever coming back to America. They're not ever coming back to America to be arrested, but the FBI wanted to tip them off in case they were, as I told Walker, coming back to Miami in January to be in the sun. But what I'm just saying to you is we have 2 years now, and we basically don't have a lot to show for it, except that you've had, 12 or 15 lawyers hired by Robert Mueller who all voted for Hillary Clinton and gave her money, and not all of them, who knows, but probably most of them. And here we are. So where is this going to end? I guess I'm asking you, when is this going to end? Where is it going to end, Abe, or will it ever?
That's a good question. I mean,
that's why I'm asking you to answer it.
We're 2 years into this. One, I think we all know that they're going to come up completely short of finding anything implicating Donald Trump. So the next question will be how long Jeff Sessions is going to allow it to go on.
Is this his call or is this President Trump's call?
I think they both have the ability to do what needs to be done. I think President Trump wants to avoid being castigated as being a, you know, strongman rule, like Barack Obama said yesterday. but I think, and I've said this before, Jeff Sessions could simply remind Mueller that his authority only applies to things that concern the election. Anything beyond that, he doesn't have the authority to do so. And I think he could also offer with that a time stamp. Say whatever evidence you have needs to be presented by X date. And at that time, your authority as special counsel will have expired. And I think he could do that. You know, he could do that today. Why he doesn't, I don't know. Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Walker, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I'd like to say that it's going to get more and more embarrassing for Rosenstein, Sessions, and all the guys in charge of this if they allow it to continue. But I really didn't think they don't care what the public perception is, because it's a witch hunt after all. Nobody's going to go to jail for this long term. Manafort will probably get out on bail and they'll settle some charges or whatever. But this at the end, I think President Trump's going to be exonerated. Because this whole thing's going to go on for 3 years, and they're going to spend $30, $40 million, Mueller is.
Good night.
And they've already spent 10. They have 10 a year to spend on whatever, travel, planes, hotels, whatever.
Am I right to say, and the lawyers who are working for Mueller are Clinton supporters?
Yeah, all 12, all the original 12. Peter Strzok was one of the original 12.
He can smell Trump
and
supporters
in
Walmart.
By the way, Peter Strzok, Peter Strzok was the one.
He said that in the hearing.
In Southern Virginia.
One of his text messages was that he could enter a Walmart and he could smell
Trump supporters.
Trump supporters.
In Virginia.
That was the guy who said the other day that he had integrity.
And no bias.
And no
get
bias.
This,
no
get bias. This. Peter Strzok was the one who interviewed Michael Flynn in the White House, went in the chief of staff's office and brought in Michael Flynn and somehow finagled some questioning and led him to quote, you know, lie.
This was a general.
That was Peter Strzok.
He did that. He was the one
at the White House.
Did you see his facial expressions during his interview the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful.
He was the kind of kid. Now, I want to say this very carefully. I don't want a visit from the FBI. But his look on his face was the kind that in junior high and high school would get you taken out behind the gym. And yes, right. Let me just dot, dot, dot that.
Right, yes. Okay. No, you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
To confirm or deny the end of that story. Yeah.
It was sneering. It was
arrogant.
Catch me if you can.
Yeah.
The sun's out and the skies are clear today, but I'm telling you it's raining outside, and who's going to prove me wrong?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, President Trump's going to be exonerated. That doesn't mean that this thing's right or good, but at the end of the day, he'll be exonerated because the whole
what
thing.
What day is that, Walker?
I hope it's
I
soon.
I have a prediction.
At the end of the year.
I hope it's soon.
I have a prediction. I know what? You guys are going to think I'm crazy.
Crystal ball.
It's not a crystal
Looking
ball.
Looking to the crystal ball, Ed.
No, no, this is tea leaves.
This is tea leaves. I don't even drink tea. I'm reading the caps on my Diet Coke bottles. Okay. No, folks, we're not talking about any of that. Right. Here's my prediction. I think after the November election, he's going to start wrapping it up because I think this is all about it. Well, he's going to wrap it up.
Who's he?
I'm talking about Mueller. Robert Mueller. Now, if he had something on Trump, it would come out before the election.
Be out by now.
If he has something but just needs a little bit more time, then he will keep it going to get him out of office after the November election. But I think he doesn't have anything on Trump. He's hoping that these kinds of things, like the 12 Lords of Leaping that you made reference to, he wants to influence the November elections. And if the Republicans hold the House and the Senate, it'll be game over. And Robert Mueller will say, well, we're going to wrap this up.
Well, James Comey today is telling people go vote for Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. James Comey, Fred's got this story. James Comey and Robert Mueller are buds.
Yeah.
And Robert Mueller has a bunch of Democrat lawyers working for him to go after Trump. This is all.
Yeah, here's what I want, though.
And then Fred's got.
Is what Comey tweeted out this morning. All who believe in this country's values must vote for Democrats this fall.
Yeah.
History has its eyes on us.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Comey.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't realize that Comey's wife and daughter went to. I heard this morning. I was at Sandy's show or somewhere.
They had the Women's March.
At the Women's March, the day after the inauguration.
Resist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if James Comey is, he's completely discredited. You know, he protected Hillary Clinton. That's when he got in trouble, quite frankly. All he had to do was refer that to tell me if I'm wrong, attorney, counselor, Hamilton. If James Comey, the day he announced that he was exonerating or saying, you know, he wasn't going to refer
Hillary Clinton
to a grand jury. If he would only have done that, that would have got it off his plate.
Yeah.
And let the grand jury decide whether there was evidence or not to go after her criminally, right?
And it's not even his call to do that. Mm-hmm. What he has to do is give his entire findings to the Attorney General's office. Mm. And they make the determination whether or not.
But he blocked that.
Yeah, he completely.
He blocked it for what was her name?
He went to bat for Loretta Lynch.
Loretta Lynch. Yeah, because that takes her off the hot seat.
Because she met on the tarmac with the defendants.
Because she met on the tarmac with the defendants, the accused. At least politically, the suspect, Hillary Clinton, met with her husband. So how could she then say, well, I've had all this information referred to me, but I see nothing wrong, nothing to see here.
Somebody had to take one for the team, and James Comey was willing to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Because up until then, he was pretty much viewed across the board as a level-headed, impartial guy.
Yeah, he had to take one for the team and for the Hillary team. And the only reason he said that they were reopening the investigation 2 weeks prior to. Remember, because Hillary Clinton supporters got mad at him.
They wanted him fired then.
They got mad at him for saying we're reopening the investigation. Well, he didn't have any choice. Remember, because all that information was found on Anthony Weinstein's laptop computer. So had he not said we're reopening it, that would have looked even worse. So anyway,
and Peter Strzok sat on that for 2 weeks before he was forced by the NYPD and the FBI in New York.
It's just
to release that. But I just want to say this, and I think at the end of the day, in order to restore the integrity of the FBI and DOJ, this whole thing has to be turned on its face, and someone in charge of the Mueller investigation or Rosenstein, so whoever headed this thing off or Peter Strzok, somebody's going to have to be punished legally And maybe in other ways, I don't know. They've all already been fired for the most part.
Peter Strzok's not been fired.
But what I'm getting at is you cannot just allow this thing to just die out and they just close it and it end. And nobody is punished for this unjust right. investigation into what is apparently no crime. No crime of collusion. Because if they get away with this, then that means that in the future, they can head up politically motivated investigations for 3 years and then just close them.
Yeah. Can Jeff Sessions fire Peter Strzok?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. The Attorney General is the head of the Department of Justice.
And Peter, after that performance of the day before Congress?
Yes.
And he's still got a job?
Peter Strzok, this is how...
I thought Jeff Sessions was stronger than this. I really did.
This is how inefficient our government is. There's this two-year-long investigation by the Inspector General into the Clinton email server, all that. Hundreds of pages of documents and hours of interviews. Right. They release it, and it basically says that Peter Strzok is a biased FBI agent, and he's in charge of both the Clinton investigation and the Russia investigation. So the Inspector General presents that to Congress, and then the DOJ goes, well, we're going to suspend Peter Strzok, and we need to open our own internal investigation into this matter.
Well, they sent him down the hall to human resources?
Well, they did that.
So
he could file insurance claims
for people? They did that initially, and then 2 weeks ago, he was escorted out of the FBI offices on paid leave,
right.
suspended under internal review. How many reviews do we have to have?
Right.
That's what the Inspector General's job is for.
All I got to do is watch that performance the other day, and he's fired.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is not hard.
You would think.
Go ahead. Anyway, thank you. Abraham Hamilton III.
No appreciate problem.
So this afternoon, you're on the air from 5:05 Central Time.
5:05 Central Time. And I have a couple things that I'm jostling back and forth with what I want to tackle, but it may include some of this.
But
stuff.
Feel okay. free to use that 12 Lords Leaping. You that was really good. Like that. So
yeah.
That was good.
Thank you, Abe.
All
appreciate
right,
it, brother.
Guys.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner this afternoon from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Adjust your clocks if you live in different time zones for Abe's excellent program. What do you got next, Fred?
Let's talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Please.
Let's talk about her.
Great restaurant.
Well, she did an interview the other day with, I think it was Public TV.
Who NPR. Is she now? You remind people who she is again.
Well, she won a primary in New York. She's from New York. She's in her 20s. She's a lawyer. She is a far left wing socialist. She's a Democratic socialist, member of the Democratic Socialist Wing.
And as the House of Representatives.
Yes.
And she beat a longtime Democrat incumbent, which
Joe
sort
Crowley.
Of shocked the Democrat establishment.
Right. Yes. And basically, in her latest part of that interview, she was asked what she thinks of the much improved unemployment rate. And she responded, well, the unemployment rate is improving because most people have two jobs. That's how what they have to have. And she's also out there with the socialist gospel. She just believes everybody should have guaranteed incomes. And, Ed, we were talking about this yesterday on the program. She just goes on and on and on. And the question is, what's going to happen in the Democratic Party? Because there are some in the Democratic Party, for instance, Joe Lieberman, who I understand left the Democratic Party, but he is out there, former New York senator. He is out there telling people not to vote for her. Now, he's Democrat in his political fiber.
Right.
He is telling Democrats, do not vote for this woman. In fact, what he's doing is encouraging Crowley, the guy who was defeated, to run under some other party name and defeat this left-wing...
Technically, he's still on the ballot.
He's still on the ballot. And to defeat this socialist, my goodness, this is an embarrassment for anybody, and I hesitate to describe conservative Democrats, but mainline Democrats.
There are no more conservative Democrats.
Yeah, but she is a great concern. Now, Kellyanne Conway was on Fox and Friends this morning, and she was asked about this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And what she is saying out there publicly, this is what Kellyanne Conway, a special advisor to the president, had to say.
The new ascendant leader of the Democratic Party is being caught in all kinds of ignorant mistruths about occupation of Palestine and abolishing ICE. Let me tell you something. ICE does a fantastic job keeping us all safe.
Right. Okay.
They detected 2,500 pounds of fentanyl. They are arresting people.
All right. So this is one of the suggestions from this young lady who now is going to carry the Democratic Party banner.
How old is she?
28 or 29,
yeah,
I think
she's,
she is.
I think she's 28.
You know, she won with only 20% of the people showing up to vote. It was very low turnout. I'm not, and you know, go ahead, Ed.
Well, I was going to say, this is from Newsweek. This talk about how radical this lady is, young lady is. This says, talking about Ocasio-Cortez, says, has called on protesters rallying under the Abolish ICE banner to occupy border crossings, airports, and ICE offices across the country.
This is her?
This is her. Mm-hmm. She was in an interview on Monday with a group called Democracy Now. Amy Goodman was interviewing her. Imagine that, calling on people to occupy airports and as well as ICE offices, immigration and customs enforcement, and border crossings. So this is the new face of the Democratic Party?
Yeah, she's the poster girl now for the – this is a – You know, I know sometimes Republicans have their own problems. Both parties do with people and the Democrats and the liberal mainstream media. Mainstream, I use that in quotations now. They love putting up people who, you know, who I guess they would consider too far to the right.
Yeah.
To try to make the Republicans look bad. Okay. But this is a real problem. This woman is a real, real problem. First of all, she's an outright Democratic socialist.
Oh,
yes.
Unapologetic. I mean,
proudly.
Right.
And then she's standing for the things Fred just mentioned, or you just mentioned, Ed, going to airports and shutting down ICE. And all this crazy stuff. And now the Democrats have shunned in California, and she may yet win, but the Democratic Party structure in California shunned Dianne Feinstein as too conservative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So the Democrat Party, their mask is off. They don't care anymore. They are Bernie Sanders, and they're proud of it. And they're not going to take being dissed by the likes of Dianne Feinstein and that crazy conservative Hillary Clinton.
And crazy conservative Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi, who are too centrist, too mainstream, too establishment for the new Democratic Party. So the Democratic Party establishment, who is far left themselves, now have to deal with these people who are even further to the left and try to win elections. This is the Republicans may have their own issues, but the Democrats, I would argue, have more. This is a problem because these people cannot get elected, I don't think, on a mass scale, these kinds of people.
No. This Ocasio-Cortez, she's starting to sound like a revolutionary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she really is. I mean, like a communist revolutionary.
And we reported yesterday, she's going on the road. She's taking her show on the road. She's going to be in Wichita, Kansas, I think, Friday, out there with Bernie Sanders.
But she is not supporting what she calls establishment Democrats.
Right.
She is only supporting socialists. So like you said, this is a real problem for the Democrats and the left. And I'm just sitting here just applauding the whole time.
I just think it's funny because somebody in the Democrat Party is going to have to stand up and say, this woman is nuts, and we reject her. And you know what I'm saying? That's going to cause a war. Keep in mind that Bernie Sanders people arguably won the Democratic primary, but because of the super delegates, and
they already feel like the establishment,
and basically he got cheated.
Yeah.
By Hillary Clinton's team there, which is the first time that's ever happened. all right, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.